The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
When John 15:6 talks about the branches being burned, is this about eternal judgment for believers or about discipline? Are there other possibilities? Let's think about that today here on Grace in Focus. Thank you for being with us today. This is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. You can find out more about us at our website, faithalone.org. You can also give us feedback there. And you can listen to our Monday, Wednesday, Friday YouTube videos at the Grace Evangelical Society's YouTube channel. Once again, our web address is faithalone.org. Now with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Ken Yates.
Well, we're back here at Grace in Focus with Bob Wilkin, and I'm Ken Yates, and we have a question from Kathy, and she is responding to a recent blog that I did about being Jesus's friend. And in the blog, I make the point, can God unfriend us? I'm not a big social media guy.
See, I'm like, I don't even hardly know what that means. You can make somebody your friend on Facebook. Is that it?
Well, from what I understand...
And then you can stop making them your friend?
Yeah, and I guess from what I understand, now people, I'm just like Bob here. I'm not a big social network guy, but my understanding is if you unfriend someone, it's like you don't listen to them. Like if they email you or tweet or whatever they do, it's blocked. They don't hear you. And in my blog, I made the comment that in a way, God can block us. God can unfriend us in the sense Jesus says, you are my friends if you keep my commandments. And here he's talking to the disciples.
John 15.
Right, in John 15. And other parts of Scripture says, if you mistreat your wife, your prayers will be hindered. We might even appeal to a verse like 1 John 1:9, that he doesn't forgive us if we don't confess our sins. And if we don't confess our sins and we're unforgiving, then we're out of fellowship with him. So
even though we still retain everlasting life,
even though
we're still his child. So you made a difference in this blog between being a friend of God and being a child of God.
Right. I think I said in the blog something like being related to him. I'm still related to him. But if I do certain things, then I am not in intimacy with him. And I, to use Jesus' words, I'm not his friend. And so communication is hindered.
But now, Kathy, her question is that parts of John 15 bother her.
Right.
Because it sounds like if you're not faithful to him, you will be cast out as a branch and burned.
Yes, what she's saying is, this is the passage also where Jesus says, you are my friends if you keep my commandments. But a few verses earlier, he talks about being cast out and burned. And so she wonders.
So in verse 6, John 15:6, cast out and burned. In verse 14, you're my friends if you do whatever I commanded you. So she's concerned that not only wouldn't you be his friend, but you wouldn't even be his child anymore.
Right. She's equating, okay, he casts out and burns those who do not keep his commandments, those who are not his friends. Well, didn't cast out and burn mean you're not his child either? He's rejecting you completely. And I'm assuming she doesn't say it in the question, but I'm assuming she means that this is the lake of fire, that this is your eternal destiny. So she says, my blog makes sense, except for John 15.
So she's basically asking, does John 15:6 teach that unfaithful believers will go to hell?
Right.
And the answer is, no, it doesn't.
Right.
Why?
Yeah, in the words of my blog, and in the word of the Lord here, you're my friends if you keep my commandments. If you're not a friend, does that mean you're also not a child?
Absolutely not.
That's the question.
Because he's talking to people, all but Judas, who were children of God,
mm-hmm.
and yet they've got to obey him in order to remain friends of God.
Exactly.
By the way, Abraham is called in Scripture, I believe it's in James, he's called a friend of God.
Yes.
And that is a great thing to be called a friend of God. It's like David is called a man after God's own heart. That's also a great thing to be called. But the idea that all believers are friends of God is a naive approach.
Well, even with Abraham, with James, it's after he offers Isaac.
Right. That's when he becomes
right.
A friend of God.
Right.
By the way, in John 15:6, what is that talking about? In other words, I guess I can read the verse. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Now, I remember Hodges discusses this in some of his writings, but how do you take this, verse 6?
Well, this is the unfruitful believer
right.
who is compared to a branch. And obviously, he's using a metaphor of an unfruitful branch that is, you can take it as their life or their life's work is burned up. It's of no value. It's destroyed. But that's not a reference to hell. Even in the parable itself or the metaphor that he's using, the fire here is not the eternal lake of fire.
Right. In fact, in most places in the Old and New Testament, fire refers to judgment in this life.
Right.
It's relatively rare that fire refers to eternal condemnation. There are some passages like that, but not too many.
No, I think they're very rare.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Just jumping in here to make you aware of our magazine, Grace in Focus. It is a bi-monthly, 6 issues per year, 48-page magazine, full color. And we want you to subscribe by emailing your name and your snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org. The subscription is free. It can be accessed electronically or it can be actually physically sent to you if you live in the lower 48 United States. That's our Grace in Focus magazine. Send your name and snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org.
So here, what it's saying is in viticulture, and Gary Derrickson got a PhD from Dallas Seminary in New Testament, but he also got a master's in viticulture from Texas A&M. And he wrote an article, actually wrote a whole book called The Disciple Maker, but he also wrote an article on this. And he said it's a common practice in viticulture when a...
When Bob's using this big word, and I'm from Kentucky,
okay,
viticulture.
Viticulture means growing grapes. You have vines and you put them on trellises and everything else.
I guarantee you nobody from Kentucky knew what viticulture
was. Okay. It means you're really vitty. No. Okay, so forget it. I'm sorry for the big language. But if you're growing grapes, what Derrickson pointed out, if you have a branch that is not bearing fruit and putting it up on a trellis doesn't cause it to get more air and to do it, then what you do is you cut them off, you put them in a pile, and you burn them up. And that causes the overall vine to do better. And the overall, not the vine, but the other branches remaining do better because you get rid of the dead wood. In the same way, in the Christian life, if you have a believer who is not abiding in Christ, and that goes on long enough, then God may remove that person from the church so that they're not dragging down the rest of the people. Now, Hodges points out that in verse 6, it uses the word kaio, which means to burn, not katakaio, which typically means to burn up. And so he says that there may be a suggestion in verse 6 that the person may avoid premature death.
This goes back to what we were talking about in Hebrews 6 and Hebrews 10 a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Right. The discipline there, all retributive judgment, or is there the possibility of repentance?
Right. And Hodges thinks there's the possibility of repentance and restoration.
Mm-hmm.
And so the burning here, although it's going to result in premature death if there's no responsiveness on the part of the branch, hypothetically, they could do what would never happen in a real vine, which is that the unproductive branch gets grafted back in and starts growing again.
Right.
Well, that doesn't happen if it's a vine that's been, a branch that's been unproductive. It's going to be thrown in, burned up, that's it. But here, it's some sort of judgment, and maybe God will bring the person back. But the issue here is not eternal destiny. Because he says, what verse is it where he says, verse 3, you are already clean because of the word which I spoke to you?
Right, that's who he's talking to.
He commands them to abide in me. and I in you. And he's saying, look, it's possible you may not abide in me. And obviously, if it was possible for the 12 to not abide in him, it's certainly possible for any believer, right?
Right.
And so we need to recognize that if we do not abide in Christ, there are consequences, and they're not good consequences.
Yeah, I think that's probably the overall picture here, is that the consequences are severe. You know, that even though we are always the child of God, and even though we can't lose eternal life, not abiding in Christ is serious business.
Exactly. I mean, haven't you ever heard people say, Ken, and all of you listening, haven't you heard people say, well, if I believe that, why wouldn't I go out and live like the devil?
Sure.
Right? If I believe that just by faith in Jesus, I'm eternally secure, why wouldn't I go out and get high all the time?
Right.
Why wouldn't I go out and just become a sex addict? Oh, well, let's see, because being a sex addict is not good for your marriage. It's not good for your spouse. It's not good for your children. It's not good for you. You're going to have so many diseases, you won't even know how to keep up with all the diseases. And you're going to have so many broken relationships. Remember what happened with Tiger Woods? Tiger Woods, one of the wealthiest athletes on the planet and one of the most well-known, had sex addiction and went into therapy and went into counseling and everything else because it was totally destroying his life.
Yeah, and he lost his marriage over
it,
too.
Yeah, and he didn't get to see his children as much as he would have. And the thing is, was that good for Tiger Woods? I think anybody looking from the outside would say, no, that wasn't good for him. Part of the problem is, if we're not abiding in Christ, we're on the path of death.
And what a great illustration the Lord uses here, that they're like branches that are gathered and burned up. That's the kind of life that the believer who's not abiding in Christ experiences.
Yeah, and that's why we need to have the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2:16. We need to see things God's way, because if we do, then my desire is to please God, because I know that not only pleases Him, but it also pleases me, because I was made to please God. And if I do what I was made to do, then I have joy and abundance of joy. But if I live contrary to the way God has created me, then I'm going to reap negative consequences that are not good for me. They're not good for my spouse. They're not good for those around me. They're not good for anybody.
And everything's going to get, to use the Lord's words, burned up.
Yeah.
I just want to say to Kathy, John 15, those disciples were clean. They were His children. But they were not going to be His friends if they did not do what He wanted them to do, and they would suffer serious consequences as a result, but they would still be His children.
Amen.
Well, thank you for the question, Kathy, and remember,
keep
grace in focus.
Be sure to check out our daily blogs at faithalone.org. They are short and full of great teaching, just like what you've heard today. Find them at faithalone.org/resources/blog. We would like to thank all of our financial partners who help us keep this show going. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can be a financial partner, visit us at faithalone.org. On the next episode, is anything about repentant faith found in John's Gospel? Join us next time, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.